You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
Hallelujah. I ask that you turn in your Bibles to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verses 25-32. Psalms 119, verses 25-32. And the scriptures of focus would be 29-31. That's Psalms 119, verses 25-32. If you reach your place in your Bibles, could you say amen?
Amen.
In the Psalms, David reads like this: "My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinance before me. I cling to your testimonies. Oh Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart." Pray for me and with me. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus. Just say thank you. Thank you yet again for another day. For this is the day the Lord has made, and we shall and will rejoice and be glad in it. Because we know no matter what we face, no matter what comes up against us, yet you are in this day. And we can make it through with victory. So we say thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, it's preaching time. And I come to understand that no preaching can be done unless you do it in and through me. Now, Father God, I pray now that you would just anoint me from my head to my toes. Yes. Oh, Lord God, speak in and through me, Lord God. Give me Holy Ghost boldness right now that I may preach your word in season and out of season. Touch me right now, Lord God, that I may preach your word because it's a matter of life and death. And Lord, I pray that everyone up under the sound of my voice, including myself, would choose life in you, and that we may have that life more abundantly. Oh Lord God, touch the waiting congregation with ears to hear and hearts to receive what thus says the Lord. And upon receiving, Lord God, we pray that you will apply it to our lives through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, that your will be done. And that we'll be well equipped to do everything that you called us to do, and that your name will be glorified. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 29-30. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your orders before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. And for a subject, if you will, I choose the faith. I want somebody to look at their neighbor right now. And I want you to say this with conviction. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
I choose the faithful way.
I choose the faithful way.
Here in our text, the psalmist David is having a rough time. Church. He's going through. He's bottomed out. He says in verse 28, I'm full of grief. He says in verse 26, my soul cleaves to the dust and needs revival. In other words, he's feeling lifeless. He needs a pick me up. He needs to be lifted up. He said in verse 26, I laid my ways before you, Lord. And that could be referred to the simple ways. Ways that were contrary and opposed to God. David is crying out to the Lord for help. Anybody ever been there? Crying out to the Lord for help. Knowing you're down in the dumps. But one thing we find for sure with the psalmist David, he knows where his help comes from. He looks to the hills from which comes his help. Hallelujah. Knowing his help comes from the Lord. They have no longer want to walk in the wrong way, in the false way, in the deceitful way. David, he was sick and tired, if you will, of being sick and tired. Have you ever been that way before? Sick and tired of being sick and tired. So he says in verse 29, remove the false way from me. He wanted another way. He wanted the right way. He wanted the faithful way. And there are times, my brothers and sisters, probably more often than we want to admit, that we too need to be like David. To follow suit like David and examine our life, examine our walk. Because the truth be told, a lot of times we feel like our souls are cleaving to the dust. We feel that we are full of grief and sorrow. Maybe we made some wrong choices. Maybe we made some wrong decisions. Maybe we are struggling with sin that we sing. We can't get over. We can't get past. The sin has bondage over us, and we're suffering the consequences of it. All right. Maybe, as we say, I've been hearing here lately, we're just dealing with life. Will life be life? Amen? Will life be dealing with us? But sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we fail to deal with life in the proper way. And there's only one proper way, and that's God's way. Amen? Sometimes we're dealing with life in an improper way. That's the false way. And if we face it, there's a lot of false ways out there today, isn't it? False ways that our flesh may be dictating to us. False ways that Satan might be whispering in our ears. False ways that social media might be saying to you.
My God, my God, my God.
Y'all know.
Jesus.
There's some good things on social media, but there's an awful lot of bad things on social media. We have people on social media call themselves life coaches. And not one point in time do they mention God in their coaching. False ways. There's false ways in our government. Politicians, they want to tell you one thing and they lie through their teeth. They want to promise all these things, but they lie through their teeth. And a lot of us, as believers, sometimes we are rendered to it. We take it all in. There's false ways in our schools and universities. Schools and universities teaching things falsely from creation to how we should live today. Morally. Even amongst our family and friends. Among our co-workers. They can mean well in what they're saying, but their counsel could be a false counsel. And sadly, my brothers and sisters, there are even false ways in some of our churches. We doctrine, false teaching. We're in the house of God. We are going to get the true word of God. Amen. Get the right way in which God would have us to live. That's why the Bible tells us, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. And that's no matter where you find that at. It can be in our churches. It can be in our workplaces. It can be in our families. It can be in our government. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah. These false ways, these deceptive ways are very destructive. It can cause us to misrepresent who God is and who we ought to be in God. It can cause problems in marriages. It can cause problems in families. Marriages can break up. Families can be dysfunctional. False ways are destructive. There's even false ways in the churches, as I mentioned. And when we take in these false ways, it can cause chaos and confusion in amongst the brothers and sisters in Christ. And in doing so, it can cause division and divisiveness. And that's that of God. Because God said he's not the author of confusion. False ways, deceitful ways can steal your joy, can steal your peace, and your very hope. And you wonder why I can't experience joy. You wonder why I can't have that joy. We'll say the joy of the Lord is my strength. You wonder why you can't have inner peace. That peace that passes all understanding. You wonder why your hope has eluded you. Because a lot of these things come about because we have chose the wrong way, the false way, the deceitful way. But however, my brothers and sisters, there's some good news today. We don't have to continue in the false way. We don't have to continue in the deceitful way. We don't have to continue in the wrong way. We can choose today the faithful way. Hallelujah. We can choose the way of truth. The way that's going to glorify God. The way that's going to help us represent him rightly as ambassadors of Christ. The way that will put us in a position of victory. The way that's going to put us on the right path. The way that will equip us when life be light and when issues be beaten up on you. That will give you what you need to overcome and persevere. Oh, that is the faithful way. The way in which we can over, we can rely on, we can trust in. The way in which we can stand on. And that's God's way, the faithful way. Because all other ways are sick and sad. Hallelujah. The faithful way. I choose. I don't know about you, but I choose. I got to make it personal for me. But I choose the faithful way. And my prayer is that you choose the faithful way and no longer be deceived by all these other false ways that's going on in the world. All these other false ways that you may be dictating to yourself and the world may be dictating to you. I choose the faithful way. The question could be asked, hallelujah, to choose the faithful way, what needs to be done? There's two words I picked up out of the scripture. There's place and clean. First of all, we need the place. We need the place. Verse 30 says, I have placed your ordinance before me. In other words, I have placed your word before me. Place. What does it mean? Place means to put into position, to put something somewhere, especially in a careful and deliberate way. All the psalmist David here is saying, Lord, I put in position your ordinance, your word before me in a careful way, in a deliberate way. He was intentional about doing that.
All right.
Why? Because I have chosen the faithful way. I have chosen the way of truth. I have chosen, oh God, the right way. I have chosen, Lord God, the sure way of victory. And see, God loves us so much. Loves you, me, so much. God is so faithful to us that he will give us everything we need. Amen. Everything we need to deal with life. To be able to deal with life, we've lost it. He wants us to be able to deal with the enemy when he's attacking us in our soul. He wants us to give us what we need when our flesh and Satan, the world, is trying to overtake us, overpower us. He wants to give you some help right now. So that's why in our text, the Lord is saying through David, the psalmist, I got something that's going to help you along the way. You need to place God's word before you. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. You need to place God's word before you. You see, that's why Psalms 119, 105 says, your word, hallelujah, is a lamp into my feet. And a light into my path. That's why the word of God says in Psalms 119:59, I've considered my ways and I've turned to your testimonies. I've considered my ways and I've turned to your word. Consider your ways. Knowing where your ways have gotten you. Knowing that your ways have gotten you put up a hard-headed in pain. Consider your ways. And then turn. Not just turn to anything. Not just turn to anybody. But turn to God. Turn to God's word. Because he got something that's going to help you along the way. Hallelujah. I need to. You need to. We need to make sure that we're placing God's word before us. This cannot be overemphasized. It's imperative.
Come on now.
It's crucial.
That's right.
All right. It's vitally important that we get into God's word. And that his word, hallelujah, gets to us. I put my hand in front of me. He said, self, put your hand. for us. We just put them in place. Our favorite television show that's in front of me for us. But how often are you placing God's word? How often? Even Jesus, he knew the Son of God, God in the flesh. He says in Matthew 4:4, for man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God.
Because
we we need. In his word, we're going to find deliverance. In his word, we're going to find victory. In his word, we're going to find power. In his word, we're going to find joy. In his word, we're going to find peace. In his word, we're going to find
Psalms 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure or keep his way by keeping his
Because if you got the Spirit of God in you and the Word of God in you, you would know what Romans the 6th chapter says. That you got power over sin. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe there's storms, trials, tribulations, and troubles in your life. It's causing grief and sorrow. It's causing despair. We need to cling to God's word. Cling to what he says. As he says in Psalms 34:17, the Lord hears the cries of the righteous, yes, and he delivers them out of all, yes, their afflictions. All. That's deeper. All of their afflictions. He rescued them out of all their troubles. Because when you cling to God's word, you'll know that you believe it in your heart that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Maybe, as it says right here, you're going through the trials and tribulations of life. You're dealing with grief and despair. Cling to his word. As it says, 1 Peter 5:7, to cast every word, every care upon him, for he cared for you. Cling to his word. To where he says, you weep and may endure for a night, but joy coming to the dawn. Cling to his word. Be steadfast in his word. The enemy may be attacking you. The hellhounds may be biting at your ear. Trying to take you out. Cling to his word. When he says, greater he that is in you than he that is in the world. Cling to his word. When he says, no weapon, hallelujah, all that is to prosper. Cling to his word. When he says, if God be for you, who in the world is there?
To keep your word. You make a promise.
I make a promise. We need to make a promise to keep God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Because some 2,000 years ago, God made it possible. He made it possible for us to be able to walk in a faithful way. He made it possible for us to be able to walk a life of victory and abundant life. He sent his son Jesus, the living Christ. Jesus, the one who was faithful to us, who came down from heaven down to earth to take upon your sin, my sin, all of our guilty stains. Jesus, the living Christ, who took all of our sins upon him, and he bled, suffered, and died, paid the penalty for you and I, so that we may have life and have life more abundantly. Jesus, who he went to bar our children, and he was in that tomb for only 3 days, and he rose up. He rose up with all power.
Thank you, Lord.
That's my word for you this morning.